as most of you know only too well, my second book was published in mid-October, and I made a book tour of the West Coast to talk about it. This was my second book tour. As with the first one not quite 3 years ago, I learned as much or more talking about my book with people than those who came to listen, and happily to ask questions. One new lesson this year was really an old one, namely, timing is everything. I gave a presentation at the Avid Reader, a lovely bookstore in Davis, California. Davis, having no baseball team of its own, long ago adopted the San Francisco Giants. This year, the Giants were in the World Series, and, as it happens, my presentation at the Avid Reader competed with the sixth game of the World Series. I lost. The bookstore was pretty much a ghost store. Then, in Los Angeles, the bookstore I was to present at closed between the time I was booked as a speaker and when I arrived. Yes, timing is everything. Particularly in Chicago, where I arrived one day before the polar vortex. Even so, the people who put aside the World Series and came to my presentation in Davis, and those who braved the polar vortex and came to my presentation in Chicago, were engaged and asked good questions. I also had the privilege of speaking to about 20 students at Occidental College and close to 40 at Claremont Theological. One lovely thing about younger people is that most of them haven't learned as yet to be anything other than direct in their questions. And I learned a lot from them. Indeed, what we'll talk about this morning comes largely from the give and take with those students and the aha moment that it inspired. I have long spoken here and elsewhere about the high wall that right belief puts between our spiritual paths. Right belief is a shorthand for the belief that each of our spiritual paths have preached over at one time or another. The idea that we're right and everyone else is wrong. We understand the truth about the sacred and everyone else, no matter how well-meaning, blew it. There are still right believers in the world. Atheists who proclaim we're right and anyone who believes in God is wrong. Christians who will tell us we're right and anyone who doesn't accept Jesus as their Savior is wrong. Muslims, Jews, Buddhists, right believers are still with us, but their numbers are dwindling. I think one reason for the added lung power, not to mention violence, from not a few right believers is their realization that their numbers are dwindling. Yet, at the same time, our divisions remain. The walls between our spiritual paths remain, not as high and no longer strung with barbed wire on top, but still, the walls of division remain. And it was as I had good, respectful discussion with people on this go-around, particularly with the students, that I reached my aha realization. Especially with the students with whom I have the privilege of sharing discussions, right belief, while still existent, is very rare. It's not an intolerant, I'm right and everyone else is wrong. Rather, there's an embrace of the diversity of humanity and our differing beliefs and the desire to get along with one another. And yet, the wall remains. What I heard as I listened to people as they spoke of diversity was not that other beliefs are wrong, but rather that their belief was better. This, I believe, is why the walls between our spiritual paths still stand. And from many and bless them for being open and honest. I heard, yes, I want to respect other spiritual paths and people whose beliefs are different from mine. Yes, dialogue is important, but why? Why would I want to pray with them? This is not something to be made light of. It is an honest feeling, born neither from hatred nor a desire to hurt. It is, I believe, born largely of pride. Pride in one's own spiritual path. And why shouldn't we be proud? Were we not warmed when our parents said to us, "I'm so proud of you"? Sure, we all know pride goeth before a fall. But that's for others. It doesn't really apply to us. After all, what is there in our binary culture other than pride or shame? Who among us, if faced with that choice, wouldn't prefer pride over shame? It will come as no shock that I would prefer to seek an alternative: humility. I would urge us to live our lives neither with our heads bowed nor with our heads in the clouds. Let us walk forward. Let us indeed walk forward, but with humility, with a respect for others walking along with us. Or is it that we are walking along with them? This holds particularly for the sacred. Hence today's theme, spiritual humility. Am I able to walk my path without shame or feeling somehow inferior, yet also without pride or feeling somehow better? It's a balance, and it's a hard one. I'm reminded of my favorite passage in Scripture. It's from the prophet Micah. What does the Lord ask of you? Only this: act justly, love compassion, and walk humbly with your God. Walk humbly with your God. There could be more to that than meets the eye. Walk humbly with your God. I've mostly heard that explained as, be humble. You're walking next to God. But I look at it just a little differently. Walk humbly with your God, however you name God. Walk humbly with your view of the sacred. Act with justice. Throw your arms around compassion. And walk humbly. However you view God, however you interpret the sacred, whatever your spiritual path, walk that path with compassion, justice, and humility. These days, in the me, me, me culture, humility of any kind can be difficult. And spiritual humility, perhaps the most difficult of all. It will come as no surprise to anyone here that all of our spiritual paths, all of them, urge us to live lives of compassion, love, and community. Yet, alongside this triad of action and interaction, our spiritual paths command, beg, urge, plead with us to do so with humility, from the Janes. Subdue pride by modesty. Overcome hypocrisy by simplicity. From the Shinto. Within the world, the palace pillar is broad, but the human heart should be modest. from Christianity, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." We've already heard from Micah, "Walk humbly with your God." From Islam, "We are all children of Adam, and Adam was created from soil." I believe strongly that our spiritual paths would not be united in pleading with us to be humble if we were not prone to pride. So what does this have to do with spiritual humility? I believe interfaith as a faith calls on us to be spiritually humble, not timid. Whatever our spiritual path, we want to embrace it, but we embrace it with humility. I think that one way that interfaith helps us to remain spiritually humble is by celebrating the profundity as well as the beauty of spiritual paths not our own. Not tolerate, but celebrate. It helps us. It helps me, as but one example, to remember how much truth and beauty and how much of the sacred dwells in paths that don't happen to be mine. But I was asked by one of the students, "How can I, as a Jew, celebrate Christmas?" And we will be celebrating Christmas here next week. This student was Jewish and sincerely did not wish Christians ill, nor did she disrespect Christianity, but the thought of celebrating Christmas seemed foreign to her. Wouldn't her doing that be a betrayal of Judaism? I humbly admit that I was not the one who came up with the beautiful answer that so perfectly fit that question. It was the TA of the class that I was talking with, who, by the way, is a rabbi, who posed this question as an answer. "If I come to your birthday party, whose birthday should I celebrate? And if at your birthday party I celebrate your birthday along with you, does that mean that I cease to value my own?" And contrary to what another student thought, spiritual humility does not mean spiritual ambiguity. Indeed, I believe we have to be pretty comfortable in our own shoes to be comfortable and unthreatened by walking in someone else's. Spiritual humility. That is what we are called to as interfaithers. And now, if I may, let us stray to a related but different topic. This message is bookended by a hymn that was perhaps the hymn of the civil rights movement, "We Shall Overcome." I wear black today in solidarity with those congregations that will wear black tomorrow for Black Lives Matter Sunday. I would wish for this country not only spiritual humility, but racial humility. May we truly come together as one family. Amen.